We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My, you know, 90-year-old grandmother would call you right now verklempt, you know, like you're a little disheveled. You know, Peter Shankin? Well,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
You're in good hands, man. You're in good hands. So we're happy to...
Like, I thought, oh, yeah, I'll do this by Friday. I'll have recovered from baseball opening day. But...
Let's do a dynasty startup draft today, and we're going to be on the same team, right? So yeah. I was going to tell you the premise of this is that the fact that you're not in hardcore dynasty mode right now is actually refreshing because I'm too in the trenches here, and I want your... sober takes on these things as we move through this Superflex draft. So I think this is actually the perfect setup.
Okay, that's good. Once you chime in here, I'm in go mode.
Yeah, so we're going to pick fourth in a Superflex draft, okay? And then let's do this. Will take about 20 minutes, and then let's talk some business of fantasy sports. So let me figure this out here. Let me add you in here, okay? Yep. So we got our board. Do you know how to make it so the board is full size? If you hover over the little bottom right there, you could blow it up to full screen so you could actually see what's going on. This is a super flex draft. Peter and I are picking fourth, tight end premium, and we're doing three receivers, two flex, and a super flex. Obviously, one tight end, quarterback, all that kind of good stuff. But yeah, two running backs, three receivers, two flex, and super flex. So, all right. Without any further ado, my friend, first guy picks, you could see the board?
Yep.
First guy picks Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. We're up on pick four. Now, do you agree that those three would be the first three off in your Superflex rankings or if you were picking any of those spots?
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's a Superflex two quarterback league. You've got to just, bite the bullet and take quarterback. Right.
So, and it's dynasty. It's dynasty.
Well, that too. Right. So, it always bothers me in the two quarterback format of any league type. You know, I'm so weighed on the quarterback, and I get into one of those leagues and I say, it just kills me to take that Prescott in the second round or, you know, whoever the, you know, later round quarterback.
Right. No, you got it. Like you're taking Jared Goff.
Later on during the season, you're like, oh, I'm so glad I did that. You know,
but yeah, like big.
Like I look at our dynasty rankings, and we have Brock Purdy. Like
he's a second round pick in dynasty. Superflex.
I know, man. And it's just like to me, that's like that is just swallowing some tough medicine, right? I mean, I'm not a Brock Purdy hater, but it's just like you know, I'm not you know, in a redraft league, you know, that just is like against my religion. So, but yeah, you got to suck it up and do it. I mean, I'm taking CJ Stroud. I mean,
he's
got a huge setup, everything. I mean, I know Lamar runs and Jalen runs, but, you know, age-wise, all that kind of stuff. I mean,
you nailed it.
You're taking the sexy upside guy in this kind of format. One of the things about the format is here's where I'm going to be the, I want to say anti
Grinch.
Okay, so the other thing about my dynasty format, okay, you're in like a zillion dynasty things, right? What percentage of those dynasty leagues actually make it to year three?
So I've been lucky, right? So, but normally you're right. It's like the NFL, it's very similar to an NFL career, right? Where they, you know, they last about 3 years and then people start dropping out and then it's over. But I've been lucky where I'm very commissioner. I vet my commissioner and I look at other leagues. And so I've been lucky where they've all lasted five plus, but you're right. The average dynasty league is probably dead within 3 years.
Yeah. So like that really influences, and that's any sport. If I'm ever in a dynasty league, baseball, basketball, football, I'm way more tilted towards going for it in year one than the rest of the league. I think you get a competitive advantage because, you know, it just doesn't, most times everyone's got good aspirations, but things change and, you know, 3 years later it's over or half the leagues quit. And so I always do that. Now, if you got a good setup and you have a lot of faith, but to me, that's like the dynasty factor that people just don't take into account as much as possible. It's just that, like, you know, we're doing it all on a theoretical basis and we're giving people the best advice for, you know, a longer term horizon. But you also really have to factor in the reality that, you know, your league's probably not going to stick together, and if you're putting in money, you may only really, you know, be in it for, you know, 2 or 3 years.
We have about 250 people in here watching us right now. And anyone that's a regular to this channel, Peter, knows that there's certain people that are win never. I'm win always. I'm always going for it. Even when I'm a bad team, I'm, you know, trading for those Mike Evans, Derrick Henry type pieces. But okay, so we're going to draft CJ Stroud here. I totally agree with that. Obviously, the addition of Stephon Diggs, right? And he's got the age, already proved it here. All right, we're coming back now in the second round. As you saw, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson rounded out the top six. First receiver went off the board at 7. Justin Herbert, who'd been falling in a lot of these drafts because of all of the change in philosophy in LA.
Whoever.
I mean, they'll get one. They'll have a number. They'll either get Marvin Harrison or Neighbors or Odunze in this draft. So they'll have a number one.
Even then, it's going to be like all rookies and so you know, maybe washed up running backs they've signed and, yeah, I mean, I love the player, but the setup just looks terrible this year. And obviously, the draft could happen. There could be trades, all kinds of stuff, which is part of the problem of doing a dynasty draft right now is that you still have such a huge amount of movement left. I might take him just because, you know, one thing about it as a Vikings fan, like, I would love it if the Vikings traded for him. I mean, it's probably not possible with cap and all that kind of stuff.
Traded for who?
For Herbert.
Oh, for Justin Herbert, right? Okay, yeah, and gave up those two picks, right?
I mean, I don't know if it's realistic, but I just think, like, you know, I mean, the contract situation, all that kind of stuff, then price might not be there, but it seems like a really nice buy low, maybe in fantasy too. But like I said, I'm my short term horizon, my outlook for dynasty is always very short term, and at least this year, it looks pretty. You know, like I think I just can't even see a scenario where he's going to come out of the draft and alignment for this year, and it's not going to be a run heavy offense with limited weapons around him. So it's just, you know, it seems pretty bad, but maybe it's a buy and that you're looking for, you know, a longer term horizon. So.
Yeah. And he went in the second round of a dynasty startup I'm in right now. And here he goes pick 8. That's fine. Yeah. So we're on the clock here at 209, Peter. We took CJ Stroud in round 1. You see the options there on the left. I could scroll down a little bit, but you have your cheat sheet as well. Who are we taking here at 209 in the second round?
Well, we're still going quarterback, right? And we just kind of have to in a startup like this.
I mean, given who's on the board with Trevor Lawrence, Brock Purdy, you know, that I'm okay with both of those guys. But, you know, I've been doing some collaboration content with, you know, us over at RotoWire and some of the guys at Dynasty Trades and Five. And more, they've talked me into going what they call trash can quarterback and taking those position players and, you know, putting in, you know, QB15, Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, you know, Jared Goff types as my QB2, almost like we treated Hero running back for so many years. So I'm good either way. I love Trevor Lawrence, love Brock Purdy here. But if you like a position player, a wide receiver, AJ Brown, Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison, Puka, I'm totally okay with that. I'm going to leave the decision to you.
I mean, I'd probably go wide receiver if we don't think a quarterback's there. I mean, dynasty, it's all about wide receiver and dynasty. Obviously, the two quarterback set up here makes it.
We'll get one.
So yeah, so I would probably go top wide receiver available on the board.
AJ Brown or Garrett Wilson or Marvin Harrison Jr. or Puka. I think those are the next realistic guys.
Garrett Wilson, you know, I mean, I'm not. And this is another one where, yeah, you know, the setup this year for the Jets could be really good. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers is, you know, shell himself. You know, you know, he's young. He's kind of proven. Yeah, you know, hopefully he'll lie into some good, you know, run into some good quarterback play at some point the next, you know, one.
Yeah, and Garrett Wilson also, it's like we're not stuck with him. He's going to be a player that can be tradable. He's a liquid player. Whereas if you take AJ Brown, sure, you know, people are going to want him, but as they click on his player card and they see age 27 and a half, he becomes a little less liquid in the market. So that's why I like that you picked Garrett Wilson. I would have been okay with the upside of Marvin Harrison if you wanted to go, you know, nuclear upside there. But either way, it's I think they're in the same tier. Of course, the two quarterbacks go right after that, Purdy, Trevor Lawrence, AJ Brown, and then two running backs. It's the in the third round. So far, there's been four running backs, Bijan, Breece, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor. Do you agree that those four guys are kind of the exception to the rule with you could take a quarterback early in Dynasty?
You mean taking running back that early?
Running back that early. I said quarterback. Yeah. Running. Because normally, like you said, these guys age.
A Dynasty is that, like, I don't know. I always just wait on running back. There's so many times where I've taken running backs where a guy like, you know, Bijan or Breece Hall just flames out so fast. You know,
Todd Gurley.
Yeah, you know, just like, so, you know, in any Dynasty, whatever format, I just really try to, you know, look at them as just a very, very short-term horizon. So, I mean, you know, Bijan and Breece Hall, love them in redraft this year, and they might be awesome, but literally, like, One injury or whatever, they might be toast. So I'd be taking running backs late in this format. You know,
I totally agree. I'm very happy going with like a Zach Moss type and, you know, Jerome Ford or Zamir White or those type of guys if I have to. Hopefully we'll get someone a little bit better. We can get Derrick Henry late or, you know, Tony Pollard or, you know, mix and match. But I think we're in agreement here. All right. I don't even want to look at tight end yet in the third round, even with the premium. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, tight end's another one where I would just be waiting forever. I mean, I basically, like, you know, my dynasty setup's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to painfully take quarterbacks a lot earlier than I normally would. I'm going to go heavy wide receiver. I'm going to wait really late on running back and go quantity over quality on running back and tight end, just try to pick some spots. But, you know, in tight end, I'm just going to, you know, in dynasty format, I'm going to try to look at a guy who was like a last year's bum who's young because they just take so long to develop.
Right, the three-year thing, right? Like almost like Friermuth, right? Who was bad last year, good his first year. And if we have to get him, I mean, at tight end 15, he can give us tight end 8 numbers.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'd say like a Michael Mayer, you know?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Rookie. Right, someone like that. I mean, obviously he's got competition there, and the short-term outlook is kind of poor. But, like, guys like that were really good in college and hyped up and just didn't do as, you know, kind of disappointed year one. Those are the guys I'd want to take shots on late here just because, you know, they have...
Fair enough. Right? You know, so. All right, we're in round three. Now, this is where I want to maybe deploy your strategy of the league can fall apart in 3 to 4 years. Christian McCaffrey's available, but if we want to stick with our... You know, I wasn't going to take McCaffrey in round two. If we want to take him in round three, he's not going to just be garbage in 2 years. He'll still be a usable dynasty asset, but Puka, Malik Nabers on the board, Chris Olave, Jalen Waddle. Does any of those names entice you? And of course, quarterback wise, I still think it's a little early to take Tua, Jared Goff. I mean, there's already been 14 quarterbacks off the board, but this is where I would prefer to wait a little bit. What are you thinking here? We've already had...
I would think McCaffrey, but my year one bias, you know, obviously
got him. Is a factor,
but also, like, you can trade him. Right. You know, so it's just like, you know, I mean, 3 weeks, 4 weeks into the season, you know, Stroud's injured and, you know, just looking like a lost year. You're going to get value. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to get.
Totally. Yeah. McCaffrey is one of those in what we call point scoring season. He'll be worth a lot. Right. You'll be able to get a first. No problem. You'll probably be able to get first any young asset. Say, like, you know, a player that gets drafted at, you know, in our rookie drafts coming up at 111, 112 that doesn't produce right away. Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas that blazed the combine. Let's say he's off to a slow start. You'll be able to get him and a first for Christian McCaffrey to a contending team. All right, so we took Stroud, Garrett Wilson, and Christian McCaffrey, the first three picks. That gives us a lot of position flexibility here, Peter. So best wide receivers available: Malik Nabers, Devontae Smith, Michael Pittman, DJ Moore, DK Metcalf, Nico Collins, who's been falling a little bit. And then running back-wise, I think we're not even going to look at that right now. So it really, the question is, do you want to go quarterback, which I in the fourth round with Jared Goff, Watson, Cousins? I don't think so. Or is it time, you know, to get into the tight end market? Only Sam Laporta has been drafted so far. So What's the direction?
So I think I'd probably just take our what we think is our best wide receiver. We're gonna really go garbage second quarterback. I would actually be eyeing Cousins, just like in the same.
Me too.
Like,
I think we can get him in the next spin though, in the fifth rank.
Yeah, that's what I think.
So you want to go Neighbors,
best wide receiver here, and then go Cousins in the next.
Well, I'm going to leave that to you. Pittman, Devontae Smith, or the rookie Malik Neighbors. And by the way, Malik Neighbors could end up in a bad spot. Like, say he gets drafted ninth to the Bears. He's buried behind Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. That's not great for a fourth-round pick. So how do you want to play this?
Yeah, I mean, that's I'm probably going to go, let's see. I'm probably going to go Smith or Pittman. Who's younger between Smith or Pittman? I can't remember.
They're about the same age. How about this? Pittman's the number one on his team, where Smith is the number two. Does that change?
The only thing there is, I kind of feel like, I mean, maybe this is heresy to say, but I kind of feel like Smith is a better talent.
Agreed. Right?
Pittman's the number one. So, okay, if we're going to go with my short-term bias and stuff like that, then I'm going to go with
Pittman. I agree with you here. Pittman at the 4-9, so we take him there. Smith is obviously the next pick. Trey McBride goes off the board. Nico Collins after that. James Cook, a little early there, fifth round, don't mind. Jordan Addison, DJ Moore. So now we're back on the clock again here, Peter.
Yeah.
I
would go Cousins and just, we're good. We're set a quarterback, and now we're just going to probably take a couple wide receivers.
All right. So here's the available quarterbacks. It's Jared Goff, Watson, Bryce Young, Cousins. Given the ADP and Cousins, could the perception that he could, not start the season because he's coming off the injury. Do you want to play chicken one more round, or do you want to just take him right here?
So if this was redraft?
No, not redraft, but dynasty.
I'm just saying, if it was redraft or single quarterback, then I'd be like, it's fine, right? And this is a two-quarterback non-keeper league. I might even be like, okay, let's say it. But here, I think I would probably just take the single quarterback because, you're just going to be in a world of hurt here pretty soon at quarterback. So I'd probably just take him.
So you don't want a chance. Okay, so we're just going to take Kirk Cousins in the fifth round right here. Yep. Okay, draft Cousins. Let's see what comes back to us. Okay.
See if we could have had, probably could have had another quarterback because everyone's already set.
No, you're right because that would have. So, all right. So, yeah.
We could have maybe made it.
But, do you want to cheat a little? You want me to rewind it and cheat and see what would happen?
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, there's a pretty good wide receiver run in there that we probably I could have seen coming or whatever.
And by the way, you started off this conversation saying, oh, I'm in baseball mode. But, dude, you're crushing this draft right now. This is what I'm talking about. See, I would have been the guy that punted, taken Malik Neighbors. Then we'd be sitting there with our pants down with no second quarterback in a dynasty league.
When you're not in full football mode, you can still do the first five rounds of any draft. It's when you start getting in the later rounds that you probably lose your edge.
We're only going to fill out a starting lineup before we go. All right, so here we go now in the sixth round. Our team is C.J. Stroud and Kirk Cousins are our quarterback. I like that. And by the way, if you take Kirk Cousins in a startup draft, I'm in a startup draft right now. I have Cousins. Like in the garbage rounds, just grab Taylor Heineke, right? He's going to if Cousins for some reason goes pup, at least you have a quarterback who no one else is going to take, right? So
that's true. I mean, a lot of it depends on your format. I mean, how deep is it? Do you have IR spots, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, so, but you're going to need a quarterback. And if you don't want to draft the third or you just don't have room for him,
Yeah, I mean, it's like, because our backups are available.
All right, so we also have Christian McCaffrey's our anchor running back. I love the value we got there in our third round. And then Garrett Wilson and Michael Pittman. So we can go any direction now. We have our best players available are Josh Jacobs. Here, I'll go from running back. We can go Jacobs, Javonte, DeAndre. By the way, what do you think about Jacobs on Green Bay? Do you think this buoys his value? Is the same as last year, worse? Josh Jacobs is shaping up to be a value in all formats, Peter.
I think I'm pretty high on him. I think he'll get a lot of passes. We know A.J. Dillon, who resigned, right?
Yes. But he was garbage,
He's not like an imposing threat. No, I'm super high on it. I mean, there's some injury risk, right? He's got a lot of mileage on him. But the offense last year, the second half of the year for the Packers looked really enticing. Yeah, I'm super high. I mean, I'm a Vikings fan but I'm actually pretty high on the Packers this year from an offense perspective. So,
With this pick though, Peter, I want to put forward the idea that we take Dalton Kincaid here. Dalton Kincaid is a top 4 or 5 tight end in Dynasty already. And then I don't really think there is a tight end one. Everyone has Sam Laporta, Trey McBride up there. But it's like, any of those guys can be the tight end one. You just have to order them. With them trading away Diggs, and right now, let's assume they get a first-round wide receiver. They only have Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir. I mean, Dalton Kincaid is set up for one of these monster seasons with Josh Allen. Do you think that we should just secure that tight end position in a tight end premium, take them right here? Because it does fall off to a little bit of, you know, the abyss after this. So unless you want Kelsey.
I mean, I really like the value. I'd probably do it. But at the same time, with like totally my philosophy for these leagues is like I just would not be afraid to just totally punt tight end and just keep accumulating, you know, younger wide receivers like that. But this one makes sense. It's like landing in your lap, you know, it's kind of a good spot. We don't really know 100% what we're doing here in the draft. We can go a bunch of different directions. We got quarterback short up, we've got two wide receivers, running back. So we could easily do it. It's not a big deal. I could be talked into it. So
sure. He's like a wide receiver, Kincaid, right? He's not really a tight end.
He also fits a little bit of like year one philosophy where as of right now, it looks like he's going to be like the only game in town, right? So now I think that'll change because I have a feeling the Bills will probably do something aggressive in terms of either like making a trade or, you know, signing some wide receivers and things like that. So like maybe it won't look as, you know, as sunny for them, you know, 3 weeks from now when they, or if they infuriatingly do something like draft another, you know, first round tight end or something. You know?
They're not doing that. But, there's no way.
Last year, we would have been sitting here at the exact same spot last year and we would have been like, really? They're going to draft a tight end, you know, like in the first round? Really? That helps them? I mean, there was, you know, glaring need at, you know, all these other skill positions, you know, like tight end, you know, so like, you just never know. But it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm totally going to be talking to pull of the trigger on it, but I just know that like in the dynasty leagues I am, I'm always like, I just need more wide receivers.
So let's
the back of my head.
Let's look at our options. So wide receivers that are available are Stephon Diggs, JSN, Debo, George Pickens, Jaden Reed, Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper. I think there'll be some good options for us in the next spin around. But
certainly five picks for them. I mean, if you're looking at this, put those back up on there so I can have
some. Well, the wide receivers? Here you go.
Yeah. I like Pickens.
You know, yeah, me too.
I think he's got a ton of it, you know. But, you know, you could also go more, you know, short term with like, you know, Cooper Kupp.
Mike Evans, yeah, Cooper Kupp, totally. How about this? How about we take Kincaid?
I mean, let me ask you this question. I mean, Kupp could be the number one wide receiver this year. Is it that crazy? I mean, I wouldn't bet against it, but like, you know, you're getting to the point where there's not many players on the board anymore that you could see being like number one overall at their position. I mean, you know, so.
Can we play a little chicken though? Let's take Kincaid. I bet you Kupp or Pickens will be there for us. And if not, I take the L. All right. So we're going to go Kincaid and we're going to hope Pickens or Kupp is there for us at the 7:04. Here we go. Let's see what happens. If not, let's see. Let me get out of that. Okay. If not, let's see at the 7:04. They're both there, Peter. We could have had them both.
Well, not bad. I mean, you want to go year one more with Kupp this year or Pickens? Actually, the problem.
I'm either one here. I could go. I could see either way.
Trying to see what we have higher on our
on the RotoWire rankings.
Year one, you know, teaching. You know, yeah, you know, 1 year outlook teaching.
I would say Kupp because just like looking at like the best ball rankings, Kupp goes ahead of Pickens, but. You know, age is a factor. I mean, Kupp's going to be 31 here. If you're watching along here, just put in the comments who you think we should take at this point. If you think we should take Cooper Kupp or George Pickens in the at the 7:04, I'm going to leave it in your hands. So we played chicken.
I'm more leaning to Pickens. You know.
Okay. All right. Well, Pickens it is.
I mean, he's got more. He's got better long term value, and maybe arguably as good this year. So
if we're drafting George Pickens, who do we hope is the longer term quarterback? Do we hope it's Russell Wilson or do we hope it's Justin Fields for fantasy?
I don't know. You know, I kind of feel like Russell Wilson for sure because like if Russell Wilson can just, you know, have one or two more years where he's even close to what he was before, he's got more passing upside than, you know, he's displayed more in his downside years of passing. Than Fields ever has. You know what I mean? So.
Yep. All right, Peter. We'll go rapid fire here because I want to leave plenty of time to talk to you about the business of fantasy sports. If you're watching this draft right now, as soon as we're done with this draft, Well, I'm here with Peter Shankey. He is the president and co-founder of RotoWire. Are you the co-founder or are you the founder? Which one are you going to take?
I like co-founder, you know.
Co-founder. All right. You're going to share a little bit.
Match, I guess, but like, you know, things would not have happened if Herb Milk and Jeff Harrison.
That's true. But okay. All right. Fair. I'm busting your chops, putting you on the spot here, but we're going to talk a little business of fantasy sports in a moment. All right. Let's go rapid fire here. We have three receivers. We have McCaffrey. Is this time to start looking at running backs, or do you want to load up on Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, a good spot? We're not going to talk. We can go another QB with Baker Mayfield, who looks like he just got, another couple of years of guaranteed starting. What's the direction you want to go here?
Either if there's a sexy upside younger wide receiver, I would take him. Otherwise, you know, we could probably go.
Christian Watson would be that guy, would be the younger upside guy. Hollywood Brown, 1 year contract in, but he'll be available in the next spin. But 1 year contract with Patrick Mahomes. After that, Jameson Williams. I think those guys are a little bit more dart throwing. Yeah,
this is where like I'm sort of behind on my research in football, where I don't know the possible draftees. And we're doing this 3 weeks from now, and then obviously.
Yep, well, we're doing it now.
We'll take a gamble on somebody that we think is going to be like maybe a sneak into the second round and have a sizable role or something like that, but has a long-term, you know, future upside. And that's where I'm going to admit that I don't have that.
I told you, I think that's a feature, not a bug at this point, because we're going to roll this again. I'm going to do it with another guest. We're going to do another dynasty draft after the draft, and we're going to compare the two. Yeah. All right. So
who's your top sexy upside, hasn't been drafted, prospect, wide receiver who might could take it in, we could hit the lotto, and he lands either a really good short-term spot or a longer-term looks good.
I mean, Troy Franklin out of Oregon or Xavier Worthy out of Texas, the guy who
both those are great. I would take Worthy. I mean, like, okay. The guy was awesome at the combine, didn't have a lot of production in college, but I could just see him hit the lotto in terms of landing spot.
All right. Well, we nailed it. What do you think is the lotto in terms of landing spot? Which team, just, you know, don't even look at the draft board. Where would you, is it Dallas? Is it Miami? Is it the Chiefs? I mean, is it the Bills trading up for them?
Probably the Bills. I mean, just because, like, you got to look at somebody who's got a good offense that's wide receiver needy, and there's a ton of targets. So that could make a ton of sense. I mean, the Bills would probably be ideal, you know?
Okay. We're in the ninth round here. We're just going to take BPA at this point. Quarterback, do you want to secure a third quarterback with Baker Mayfield, Will Levis?
I'm probably going to go running back. We are looking a little bit more short-term horizon.
So we got Zach Charbonnet with, new regime in Seattle. Doesn't mean necessarily anything, but James Conner.
I'll probably go with Zamir White, you know, like, I don't know where he's going ADP-wise here, maybe a region, but I just think guy's going to get just a ton of work here.
Zamir White, good. Zamir White strikes me as the guy that's going to rise up the rankings, because let's say the Raiders, you know, take a day three running back, a round five running back. Come on. Zamir White is in there, already produced on the NFL field. I love that pick.
The only problem with that is he's just a gamble here, because like the draft could just eradicate his value, right? I don't think they're taking a running back, but
there's no. Yeah. All right. Just to review real quick, we'll just to take a look at our squad, our roster. We have C.J. Stroud and Kirk Cousins, running backs, McCaffrey and Zamir White. Our three receivers are Garrett Wilson, Pittman, Pickens. We have Dalton Kincaid. Brilliant pick by us. Brilliant pick. And now we have to fill out one more flex spot and then a couple bench spots, and then we'll wrap up this draft here. So,
You can run the projected standings and all that kind of stuff, but I got to think, like, year one, we got a pretty, pretty good team to try to win year one.
And I think we have some good liquid long-term assets as well. All right, so we are now, I'm going to leave this up to you. We can pick another running back here with Austin Eckler, Trey Benson, who is projected maybe to be one of the top two or three running backs off the board, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. Also, whoever that first RB1 is, nobody really knows who it's going to be, Peter. That's what's so cool.
I'm not taking the guy. I'm always just like, I'm not taking the guy that's got the ACL tear.
Right, the Jameson Williams of running backs, something like that, right? Like, all right, yeah,
at this point we can just go any direction. I'm probably just going to take the best third quarterbacks in play, speculative upside, you know, running back or wide receiver from, you know, whoever the next highest on your board.
Jameson Williams would be a good upside. I mean, he showed a little bit in the playoffs.
That'd be good. I like him. I obviously just to try. I just talk down guys with ACL tears, but he's come back. He's
Jerry Judy, new contract in Cleveland.
I don't get that one at all. I'm not really high on it.
All right.
You got to show me something, you know? So
I would say Baker Mayfield, because he can net us a first if we need to in the trade market. Like, somebody will give us a late first when they have a quarterback injury, and we'll at least have a... I mean, do you know... Take a guess right now, Peter. Baker Mayfield finished as QB what last year in fantasy?
Oh, he was pretty good, but...
Take a guess.
What was he? He's probably... What was he? He had a ton of attempts. I don't know. Probably like 8.
QB9. You got it.
There you go.
Got it. All right. So we're going to take...
I would take my best speculative either wide receiver or running back talent in the draft. Maybe Jameson Williams. And I'd come back. Actually, I would take...
Well, let's pick. Let's make a decision.
If Will Levis is still out there...
He's there.
I would love him.
All right. We're taking Levis right here at 10.
Yeah.
All right. And now we're back.
I don't know if I'm a Will Levis fan in terms of a believer and all that kind of stuff, but he showed a spark last year. They're giving him great weapons around him. I mean, at this point, it could pay off. You could easily be your long-term quarterback here in the two dynasty format. No problem.
Totally with that. Now we're back on the clock again. QB's still on the board, but I think we're done there. Running back wise, in the 11th round, you want to take a spec ad on Blake Corum. Jonathan Brooks, you already said you don't want the ACL guy. How about Raheem Mostert for production now?
He's kind of a guy, like, he had his best year. I'd actually probably
Jameson Williams.
Corum or Jameson Williams.
All right, JMO, we're taking JMO here. Okay. All right, so we'll come back around. We got two more picks. DeAndre Hopkins on the board. Troy Franklin, little upside wide receiver. You said you like those guys. Gabe Davis with the new contract in Jacksonville. Ladd McConkey, who could be a first-round pick. We did a nice video on him on the RotoWire YouTube page. Maybe pick 33 to the Panthers. Ladd McConkey.
Oh, Franklin or Corum. Corum didn't get taken. No, he did get taken. I'd go Franklin, probably. At this point, I'm
okay. Over Ladd McConkey.
Yeah.
Okay. Troy Franklin is our pick.
Not like him.
And now Ladd McConkey is still there. If you want him you want Hopkins.
At this point, I'd basically be taking shots. So I'm either taking like shots like that or, you know, really short-term running backs that have jobs or something like that, you know.
How about Marshawn Lloyd or Jalen Wright? Both are projected to be, you know, fourth or fifth round running backs that could land in good spots. Or you have Braylon Allen, of course. The big fella, if you want to take some shots on running backs. And Jonathan Brooks still there, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I like Braylon, I don't know, but, you know, that's where I'm being in Madison, Wisconsin, probably.
All right, we're taking him. We're taking him.
Yeah, probably, make, you know, bias.
All right, we got an A+. That's a bad sign, but you never want to get an A+. But here's our team real quick, Peter. CJ Stroud, Christian McCaffrey, Zamir White, Garrett Wilson, Michael Pittman, George Pickens, Dalton Kincaid, Xavier Worthy, Jameson Williams, Kirk Cousins, Will Levis, Troy Franklin, Braylon Allen. I like it, but all right, everybody, you can let us know in the comments.
Let me ask you, so coming in cold off the bench with a different perspective, was there anything there that we did differently that you probably would have done?
A lot. It was the Xavier Worthy. I would not have reached there, but I'm glad we did now. And I love the Zamir White, because I've been afraid to take him this early, but you outlined, look, let's not overthink this. He's going to get the workload. He's a good back. He's done in the NFL. Why are we going to wait two more rounds and then get sniped and then be stuck with, you know,
That's maybe the good or bad of me not really having a good command of the ADP for this type of format, you know, at this juncture, right? So it's like...
But ADP ruins you, because then you become beholden to it. So I am, especially right after like round four, Peter, screw ADP.
Oh, I know. But, you know, like the thing about ADP... I'm very anti ADP. It's really super flawed, right? And so, like, people just become too beholden to it. But that said, you want to know, you know, even late in drafts, you don't want to be making like four round errors, right? I mean, that kind of stuff. And
sure.
At this point, I don't have the command of even that later on. So,
right. You don't want to be taking Calvin Ridley where, you know, three rounds ahead of where you need to. But, you know, again, that's what this exercise is for. I knew you would not be in football, like all in football mode. You're a huge baseball dude right now, but that is part of the exercise. I think that this gives, like I told you, there's the dynasty bros like myself that, you know, oh my God, you took this guy there. And I really believe that this is a meaningful exercise. And I think this will help a lot of people.
You know, you need to do this. Yeah. Just a side plug for my favorite site. You do auto view format for this dynasty football.
You do what?
Auto new that platform, that site.
What is that? Explain what it is. Plug it.
Oh, okay. Auto new is a great site for football. I mean, you can play baseball there, basketball, football. The football is dynasty. You know, it's more of a salary, you know, salary cap, you know, as opposed to pure dynasty like this, obviously, where you keep players forever. You can also spend money on college prospects. I really like that format. So if we're talking, you know, keeper, dynasty, whatever, it's kind of a hybrid in some ways. Obviously, it's salary cap driven, so it's not true dynasty. You just don't pick the player you own forever. But, you know, and it's got that Debbie component as well. Yeah, that
kind Peter, of you're giving out free commercials here. I mean, come on.
I like it. It's a good product. But I'm just throwing it out there. It's just a good, you know, I feel like it's another way, it's another format that, you know, people like you who are super into all the Dynasty long-term horizon outlook on it. It's a good one.
Well, somebody who actually paid for a commercial here, let's give them a plug. How about that? On-demand DFS, all right? Bear with me, Peter, for a moment here. I'm talking to you, audience. This is a great new site called On-Demand DFS. You ever think back to the golden days of fantasy football? You know, when it was all about the love of the game, the camaraderie, and yes, the bragging rights? Well, our friends at On-Demand DFS are bringing those days back with their revolutionary app that's changing the game of fantasy fans everywhere. Gone are the days of confusing entry fees, playing against unknown masses, or juggling multiple apps, or the trash talk with your league mates. On-Demand DFS is here to streamline your fantasy football experience, making it more about strategy, fun, and importantly, the community. With On-Demand DFS, you can create contests in seconds, invite your friends. No entry fees, no gimmicks, just pure fantasy football bliss. And here's the kicker, Peter. You're not limited to the current season of players. Imagine crafting your dream team from over 5,000 legends and today's stars using real historical data to simulate the action. And for those who hate the wait, you'll love our Turbo Mode. Contests wrap up in minutes, not hours, keeping the excitement all day long. Download On-Demand DFS app and get started with your 30-day free trial. Dive into fantasy football experience that's rich in history, strategy, and most importantly, fun. It's time to create your legacy with the ultimate lineup of legends. Live in fantasy football dreams like never before. I put a link in the description of this video where I believe there's some sort of you know, surprise discount on that, and it including the 30 days. Let me ask you this. You can create a on-demand DFS, Peter, like your ultimate lineup. Let's just go through this. One person in each position, the best fantasy player. I'm giving you full access to the pool. Who would be your fantasy quarterback all time?
All time? Well, I have to go back and look at all the records.
No. Just top of the head.
The guys that are the most fun, not the guys that are the most statistically, you know, as a biased Vikings fan, Dante Culpepper was always.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Not only did you get the bombs to Moss, but he's the only quarterback, at least in the modern era, like, you know, color photography, where when he would get tackled, he would take it to the actual person tackling him because he was so big, right? It was like, so that was always fun to watch.
All right, I'm going to go for my pick. We'll go back and forth. My pick is going to be that peak Michael Vick season. I'm going to take him as my QB. So, yeah. Right, you're up on a running back. Who are you taking? All-time fantasy running back.
Well, probably Marshall Faulk. I mean, you just get everything.
Yep. I'm obviously going to take whatever LaDainian Tomlinson season was the best. You're up on the wide receiver. Who are you taking here? Are you going to pair Culpepper with...
Huge bias Vikings fan, Randy Mullis. But, like, he had the greatest all-time fantasy season, in my opinion, his rookie year, because statistically it was obviously very good. Maybe it's not the best, but it's up there. But literally, you got him for free. I mean, like, he was like, you know, he's probably one of the big values. And I would also argue he was the most fun fantasy season to watch ever, because it wasn't just the fact that you were accumulating all those points, but like, everyone was just this bomb. It was, you know, it was the rave of the whole season. It was just so much fun to watch. So, I mean, put all those combined, I argue that it's the greatest fantasy season in it.
And if you want to take him for that 50 the 20 plus touchdown season in New England, that's fine too, you know. So still the same player. Who's going to be your starting tight end on demand DFS?
That's a good one. I mean, it's hard not to have Kelce, right? I mean,
or Gronk.
Gronk was too, but Gronk had some really good seasons, you know. But yeah. I mean, Kelce just like blew the doors off lots of times.
So. All right. I like it. All right, so that's on-demand DFS. All right, everybody, we're going to take a very short break right here for our YouTube audience, to stay with us. And we come back, we have Peter, president of RotoWire, here. So we're going to ask him a few questions about the business of fantasy sports. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right, we're back on the RotoWire Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. Alan Soslowski, but we're here with Peter Shankey. Peter, what initially drew you to this crazy idea 20 plus years ago of starting like fantasy football company? Because, you know, nowadays it's everybody knows about it, but back then, you know, I'm sure you were faced with a lot of questions. Is what do you do?
Like, oh, what initially? You mean like why did I start playing or why did I start as a company?
Why did you start? What gave you the crazy idea and the balls to think that this could be a real viable business?
Well, see, like that's where like you asked me before, like, oh, do you consider yourself the founder or whatever? And the idea was kind of mine, but really the impetus to do it was more probably Herb Ilk, our tech, co-founder. He really wanted to start an internet business, and we had a bunch of ideas that we just kind of muddled back and forth at a bar. And so
you were drunk when you thought of this, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. But, we had a whole bunch of ideas. And, and then eventually I just kind of said, I think what would work is if we just did fantasy. My day job was I was a wire service reporter for Dow Jones, Wall Street Journal. It's the same company. And I covered the futures and options market in Chicago. And so I had to figure out why things are going up and down. And back then, you could go to a terminal on the floor that, the internet and personal computing was not the same. And you would be able to, get a screen with a stock and all that. It would show the chart, the pricing and all the latest news, something that's just very common today. And I just thought, why don't we just create the same thing for fantasy baseball? And that's kind of the genesis of the idea. And then after that, we just were off and running. But it was more just to create a business. And it just happened to be like, well, there's all these businesses we could create. Why don't we actually do the thing that we spend all our time on anyway? And so that was really.
Yeah. Now, before I came on full time, I mean, most of the time at my office job, I was, just doing enough work so I can go look at my fantasy teams and do everything with fantasy, editing video, all that. So, yeah, it's, I just think nowadays it's an industry, it's a business, and people, there's a ton of people working in it part time, full time. It's just, it blows my mind to think about you, Herb, and the other founders that you just thought it could be a business. And there's a bunch of fantasy companies that that have lasted the test of time. What do you think has made RotoWire one of the companies that has? We've seen a lot of them come and go, mid-size, large size. So, what do you think that RotoWire has done especially well in order to stay viable and is still growing 20 plus years later?
Well, I think, you know, especially the early days when there was like no money coming in and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we just had a lot of tenacity, right? We just stuck with it and, you know, just were just had a lot of passion for it. And that got us through a lot of tough times. And so like when I see other startups and companies that have come along, lots of times when they hit those periods, you know, that really test them and adds a lot of stress, you know, they're not able to make it through.
Define test them. What do you mean? How do they get tested?
I mean, you know, if you look at the history of the business, you know, it's been almost, you know, 25 plus years now. I mean, there's many times when, you know, we're basically out of money or, you know, had a significant, you know, tech issue, like we were just down or, you know, had some just resources that we didn't need or whatever, just some sort of crisis, you know, and lots of times, you know, I always think if it was insurance that we were, you know, insurance company or something that we just didn't really care about that much, we probably would have just given up, you know, been like, well, okay, that's it. That's the end of this. But you know, since we were so passionate about it, we just, you know, found ways to grind through it. So
sports betting obviously has blown up its legalization. The company that bought RotoWire, gambling.com, right? I mean, their business is some portion of affiliate marketing and conversions to people getting the sports betting. How do you think, and I know this is, it might sound generic, but there's people that have actually asked me this question. How do you think fantasy sports and sports betting are actually going to merge? Like, you know, they're on like kind of a collision course. They're parallel and somewhat, but when they actually cross over, how do you see the two coming together?
Well, I mean, the big thing is I think when sports betting became legal for states to have sports betting, right? And so now we've seen this, all these states, you know, have legal sports betting now. You know, there's kind of a notion that, well, fantasy's dead because the only reason that people play fantasy is because they can't gamble legally. And, you know, that's just been proven to not be true. You know, all forms of fantasy are doing really well, still growing, still doing really well. There's going to be a lot of convergence, you know, there'll be a lot of like hybrid products and things like that. But I just sort of think like the core fantasy stuff is still going to do just fine. And if you look at like the NFBC, the NFFC, and FFPC, like, those season-long high-stakes contests, you know, they're still doing great, right? They're still growing at a good clip. Everything's going really well. So, you know, the fact that there's more legal sports betting hasn't impacted them. So I'm just more like, I think the core business of fantasy, the reason that you play, the dynasty draft we just did, that's just not really impacted. And you know, but there will be some new products and some things that will happen. And we've seen some of that. There are some changes in laws that still need to happen and some things that will facilitate that. Like the Wire Act is still the thing I'm really watching.
What is that?
Okay. So right now, for sports
explain betting, it like you're explain it like you're talking to my grandmother.
Yeah, right. Well, okay, for sports betting is legal in certain states. Like it's legal in in Illinois and it's legal in New York, right? You can have online sports betting, they have in-person sports betting, but you can't have a pool of sports betting that goes between the two states. And so it kind of limits the products you can have. Now, so for example, it's March Madness season and everyone loves playing the brackets, which is a gambling product because you're picking teams, not individual players. You know, I want to enter the massive, you know, nationwide, you know, I'm going to pick the bracket and win, you know, just millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, that's not possible to have right now because of the Wire Act, which prevents the transfer of, you know,
interesting
gambling pools across states. So at some point that'll probably go away. I don't know how many years it will take, but that's one of the things I'm looking at that, you know, would create a whole new suite of products. Because right now, you know, that kind of product doesn't really exist, really. Once that happens, you know, things could change. In Europe, there's a lot of products like that that are have mass appeal where on a Sunday or Saturday, you can pick all the soccer games, soccer matches, and you can come with the exact scores and all kind of stuff. There's like this huge pool that's really popular. That doesn't exist anymore.
When you're talking about legalization and you're dealing with, you know, politicians and organizations, what do you think the biggest misconception about fantasy, DFS, all these games that are for somebody on the outside that maybe has a little bit of control? What do you think the biggest obstacle to persuading some of the lawmakers?
The lawmakers, it's, you know, the biggest
regulators.
The biggest thing I would say about, you know, if you're just somebody didn't know the issue at all, is I always try to explain that all things betting and sports betting too on the outside, it looks like a morality play, but behind the scenes, it's a turf war between billionaires. And so, you know, and so like that, you know, you kind of have to look at it from that perspective. And so every state's a little bit different. And so, you know, why don't we have sports betting in Wisconsin? It's because we have tribal gaming and we have like these stakeholders who, you know, already are in the market and you know, they have their interests in their casinos. And so they don't want to have online sports betting. And, you know, where other states didn't, you know, they didn't have that and have a different approach. And a lot of people from the outside just don't really understand the dynamics of the politics. They're like, why don't we have it in Wisconsin? Like we have it in Illinois and everywhere else. And it's like, kind of have to like, look under the hood and kind of figure out who are the players here and why things happen in the politics at all. And it gets confusing. And, you know, and that's unfortunate for the consumers, you know, because then they just don't really understand why this is. And then that's where we get a lot of misconceptions. So, you know, it's from why things are happening.
I mean, you've been doing this now, like we talked about, you know, 20, how many years is it? What year did RotoWire launch? Was it in the
97, yeah.
That's okay. I mean, to me, just observationally, you still look as passionate about it. Maybe there's different facets of it. What's the thing that still gets you fired up to do all these years later?
Oh, I mean, it's a great mix for the business of things that are fun. I mean, it's sports, love sports. It's real-time info news. How, you know, I come from a journalism background. It's technology. So, you know, trying to, you know, always keep RotoWire on the latest and greatest in technology and ahead of the curve. But that's really good. The politics and legal standpoint, you know, that's pretty interesting too. I like that stuff. So yeah, it's kind of a mix of all of that. So, you know, that's what makes me passionate about it. It's pretty fun. So.
Well, you actually, it was a good lead in for my next question about technology. I mean, it's AI is a hot topic. I mean, from what I do for you and in rest of RotoWire, AI is, I've seen an immediate impact. How do you see AI? What would you like it to do with fantasy sports? And what do you think in the early indications are it's actually going to do in the next 3 to 5 years?
You know, in fantasy, I don't think it's going to impact fantasy per se much in the very short term.
How about the waiver wire? Like or AI waiver wire where it just sets it for me. I don't have to do anything.
But it's just not that smart. You know, like it's, I mean, maybe it'll get there, but like, it's kind of like, you know, when Twitter, I remember about, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, there were companies that came out with similar large language models and things where they would analyze like earnings reports and things like that. And there are a couple people that I knew that were like, oh, that's going to be the end of RotoWire. They're just going to be able to go out there and grab all the info on players and all that kind of stuff and come up with this algorithm, you know. Or when Twitter came along, people were like, well, RotoWire is dead because, you know, you just be able to go to Twitter and find out the latest news. But it's like, no, that's not the case. I mean, yes, Twitter's a great tool. AI is a great tool. But, you know, you still need that. You know, it's not smart enough to really, you know, pick out which source is good. Is this the real Adam Schefter or the fake Adam Schefter? Is this a good source or not a good source? You know, what does this mean? You know, so like there's a lot of that nuance that maybe the technology will get there in the long term, but in the short term, it's just, you know, I'm kind of skeptical it's going to get there. So, you know, you're on the clock right now. We have pick 17 in this draft. And there's this player up. It's like, okay, well, we need to double check. What's up with this guy? Is he healthy? You know, what's the situation? You know, what are the pertinent facts that are going on? You know, when you go to RotoWire and you type in the player's name, you know, you get a succinct synopsis of what's going on with that guy and you can do it. And like when you do that on Twitter, maybe not. And so AI, I think, is going to be kind of like that too, because all AI is doing is just gathering stuff.
It's scraping the internet. It's scraping the internet.
More or less. I mean, that's at the point where these large language models are right now. And it's very similar to Twitter, where it's just really hit or miss and, you know, not super reliable. So in the short term, in terms of just like, you know, sort of eradicating our business, I'm not worried about that. Now, maybe like, you know, a couple years later, it'll be playing back, you know, somebody will be playing this back and I'll look foolish, but I don't think so. But obviously what it's going to do is it's probably just going to save people a lot of work, you know, for the process that we do for, you know, our jobs in terms of like gathering information and, you know, editing and, you know, compiling reports, things like that. You know, that has a lot of upside to save us a lot of time. But I don't think it's going to fundamentally change fantasy anytime.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. Like for my job, what I do a lot of video editing on the RotoWire YouTube page, on some of our other social channels, TikTok, all that. And I have AI tools. By the way, I've got to talk to Tim Schuler, the guy who signs off on this stuff. We've got to renew some of these subscriptions. But no, they're great. So if I'm editing a video, I could feed in the whole video. It'll chop it up into like 15 clips for me. Now, the clips aren't perfect. They still need to be massaged. They still need to be, you know, tweaked and reordered and things like that. But a clip that used to take me an hour, Peter, now takes me 27 minutes. You know, I mean, and then eventually that's going to take me 12 minutes. So, and then you figure out what's this $100 a year subscription. It does actually produce more output. And this is, like you said, the very early stages. And that's just video editing that's affected me. You talked a little bit earlier about gaming, right? Did you ever consider being a game operator? And if so, if not, then, you know, like, why did you pull back from that and stick with what RotoWire does best, which is provide news, you know, business to business stuff, and of course, elite fantasy content. So game operator, did you ever cross your mind?
Well, yeah. I mean, at one point, Roto News, which is the predecessor to RotoWire, but basically the same company, so we changed our name. It's a long story. So in 1998, we launched commissioner services, and we were the first company to offer free commissioner services, which was revolutionary at the time and has proven to be sort of the winning model for sort of your, you know, common league manager system. And so we had paid games at the time. We did all that. But the big media companies kind of came in. We had a hiccup along the way, you know, in terms of, like I told you before, when you didn't have money or whatever. And so we kind of lost that market, and big media companies came and took it over. So I think if we'd gone a different direction, maybe we would have been the ones running games and all contests and all that stuff. But after that, it just was like, you know, the opportunity was more the content than it was the games. And the game stuff is in some ways not as much fun, because when you're running a game operation, when things break, I mean, it's hell, right?
I mean, look what just happened with our friends over at the NFFC. I mean, to know, you know, it's like that.
Well,
I mean,
that aside, I'm talking about, like, you and I, we just developed the greatest games of all time for football. It's a paid contest. Awesome. Sunday morning, 5 minutes, you know, 10 minutes before kickoff. It doesn't work. The site's down. You know, right. It's like,
I mean, tech issue with no time to fix it. I understand.
Yeah, our customers are irate. So it's just like that part of the aspect of that operation is no fun. You know, and so, but, you know, it's also, you know, I don't want to sound down on it either. I mean, it's also, you know, it's fun to do those business. You look with, you know, the guys at FFPC and NFPC and Greg Ambrosius and those guys, you know, they have a blast, you know, running those things and the community they create, all that kind of stuff. So that aspect is awesome too.
They always say it beats digging ditches for a living, right?
Yes, exactly. But no, just more was the opportunity was there more for content. It's just kind of how the deck was shuffled early on in the day. And after that, it just, you know, it just kept working. And, you know, we debated whether to get into the league management business, or which we still do. We still have the baseball. So we still have that as that's kind of a relic of our early days. We still have a baseball league managed service, which is actually, I think, one of the better ones on the internet. But getting into games and all that kind of stuff, especially daily, we thought about, do we get into daily and offer daily? But it's just, you know, you can only spend your time on so much stuff. And, you know, we just stuck with what was working and where our greatest grasp was.
Company like RotoWire, again, we went over all the, you know, the reasons why people subscribe and have stayed loyal to it. What do you think, what do you think is the best way to continue to market this company, right? Like, what do you think, like, if you were pitching it to someone, or what does RotoWire do really well that you think will and has done well that keeps subscribers coming in and plunking down their hard-earned money every month?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, helping you win your league, right, and saving you time. And then what we try to do is to do that for games and contests beyond just the season-long baseball and football, which is what we started with, you know. So we have the whole picks and props world. And we have a new tool for that. And we always try to add a lot of value there so that we give you a really just digestible, quick way to look at, like, you know, who the best options are on the board based on our projections, based on a bunch of other factors.
So it's tools, Peter? Do you think tools is the way?
Tools and content. You know, at the end of the day, it's like, I just feel like, you know, if you are a big player in these games, and RotoWire should be really impactful in terms of your ability to, you know, do well and play them and, you know, have fun. And if we keep doing that, you know, we'll be fine. And we've been very, very, very good at just, you know, constantly, you know, having a product that adds a lot of value in all these areas, first about every sport that we do. And, you know, and that really speaks to the people behind it. And we're just super passionate, not just myself, but, you know, everybody else here. And, you know, if you're, you know, I may not be super up on, as up, or as into it for a dynasty, you know, two quarterback format for football, but we have someone here, we usually have multiple people who can, you know, do it with the best of them. So, you know, I know you're not a fantasy hockey player, but if for some reason, all of a sudden you decided that you needed to play fantasy hockey, you can be assured that there are people at RotoWire and tools at RotoWire that will make it so that you are going to do as well and enjoy that as much as possible that you could for hockey. That's kind of the value proposition.
Two more questions for you, Peter, then I'll let you go. Get on with your day. Is what do you think the biggest danger to the fantasy sports business is? Like what, whether it's gaming, whether it's content. So what do you think the biggest danger spots are ahead in the next 2 to 5 years?
Well, I mean, it's probably just more on the legal front, you know, that, you know, there's actually an issue in California right now that really could impact fantasy sports tremendously, where the Attorney General of California is reviewing the legality of fantasy sports. There's no law on the books in California about fantasy. We as an industry have been successful in passing laws in 26 states to sort of backstop fantasy and confirm that it's legal. And that's not the situation in California. I mean, we know the law in California, if you look at it, says that games of skill are legal. Fantasy is a game of skill, so it should be legal.
Right. But games of chance are gambling, games of skill are.
It doesn't specifically ever mention fantasy sports anywhere in the California law or constitution. So, you know, it could always be kind of called into question. And we tried to pass a law there before. I testified multiple times in the California legislature in support of that. And so the AG is expected to issue an opinion on that, which usually carries a lot of weight, but is not the be all end all. And so we'll see what happens there. But that's the kind of sort of big picture stuff that could, now luckily, that's a big kind of big picture stuff that can impact fantasy. Luckily, all of our work over the years to pass those laws and to sort of change the, change the equation of how people view fantasy sports, whether it's gambling or a game of skill, has really paid a lot of dividends because, we're not having those battles in most states, and most people have sort of moved on from the debate in government and elsewhere.
It's because they play fantasy; they play it.
You know, if we were having the same conversation in 1997 or 2002 or 2012, it'd be different. You know, like. Big media companies like ESPN back then were afraid to talk about fantasy. Many jurisdictions viewed it, you know, as gambling, if not law on the books, at least if you had a discussion with them. And that has changed tremendously from the work of the people in the industry. And so that, you know, we're sort of narrowing the number of places was an issue, but still an issue. And so that's probably the biggest systemic threat to fantasy. I don't think it's sports betting or more options because that the last few years that hasn't proven to be the case. So yeah, it's just that kind of stuff. I think, that audience, for audit just keeps growing. And like I said, I think the more hybrid products you have, the more pure sports betting products you have, it's only going to just sort of, build up the ecosystem even more.
All right. Final question to bring you out of here. Will you ever retire or are they going to have to throw you out of here?
There was a survey, and I wish I could quote it verbatim, but with the FSTA or GA, the Trade Association, like 4 or 5 years ago, and it was something like to the effect of like almost 90% of the people surveyed said that they were going to play fantasy sports until they die, which is like very, very rare for any kind of product or hobby for someone to say that. And I'm certainly in that book. So from a working perspective, I'm basically... I don't right now. I can't see the future, but certainly in the short term, I'm like the dynasty format where I'm looking at it on a 1 to 2 year horizon.
Yeah, no, you're too young to retire. One, and number two, like you said, you still look like you're having a good time doing. In fact, I would argue ever since that you've become more of the president and not the owner that you're doing even better, right? Because you're able to focus on what you do best and kind of let the corporate umbrella take care of some of the things that sucked your energy away. Is that a fair assessment?
It's definitely different. I don't know if it sucked my energy. I was always doing that, but it's a different mix of stuff, but it's still fun, So like, for me personally, we did sold the business in 2 years, about 2.25 years ago. And I'm at the point now where I could leave and I wouldn't have any, I'm not under, I don't have to stay under any more money. The transaction is closed, but so I've elected to continue You know, even though I could, from a financial standpoint, step away and would be fine. But I still, you know, I like the company, I like the people, and certainly love the industry. So
we've been lucky.
Still all in it.
Yeah. I think anyone that works at RotoWire would agree there. We've all been lucky with how GDC America Gambling.com has handled all this and how we've performed for them. So, hey, you know, one more question, because, you know, right now, you know, a lot of people that work in fantasy football, fantasy sports are either part-time, a lot of people looking to go full-time. What's just a piece of advice now? Because you're someone who hires people to come into the fantasy world. Just give a couple pieces of advice. There's so many people doing content. Very short, even just a couple lines here. What's a piece of advice for someone that wants to become a full-time in the fantasy industry where content is the front of their mind, but obviously there's going to be other factors?
Okay, so three things I would say. Number one is, like, just do content. Do it. Do it all the time. I mean, even if you're just, you know, your own blog, your own video podcast, your videos podcast, no one's watching, whatever. The reps, you get better. Second thing is find a niche, okay? Like, literally, if someone tomorrow was the best, I'm trying to think of a good sport here.
IDP.
Look at injury person or EuroLeague basketball injury person or, you know, just whatever. Some, you know, analyzer of, you know, some sort of advanced data for whatever sport. Even in NFL football, we've seen this all the time. You know, somebody who's going to analyze game film for receivers and then you cover the reports for it. All kinds of stuff. Just if you own it, someone will find you. I mean, literally, RotoWire in some of these sports, we will get, you know, an opportunity. Consumers will be playing more, something like women's basketball. For example, there's no women's college season-long basketball game right now. Maybe there is. I'm not sure. But, you know, There's not a lot of stuff of women's college basketball. It's growing rapidly in popularity. At some point, RotoWire might need to hire someone who has a lot of expertise on that. Well, we will find you. If you have a blog or a video or something like that, suddenly you will become of interest to us. That's what you got to do by finding a niche. And then the last thing is network. I mean, number one, I mean, go to the FSGA conference, go to the Sloan conference, go to the baseball winter meetings, go to the NFL combine. You know, go to Indianapolis, figure out ways to go there, go to the bars where the people hang out, go to, you know, approach people in the industry. Everyone is in, at least in the fantasy business, is very approachable. You know, connect with them online, but in person, especially. I cannot tell you how far that goes. If you could talk to anyone about people who are successful in this industry, let me tell you, Matthew Berry was a grade A networker back in the day. He was nobody, and it was a huge factor in his success. I can say the same thing for many other people. There's a lot of people who want to get into content. They just don't want to do that. And, you know, they want to sit at home, just write content and believe that they're going to produce the best content in the world and someone is going to find them. And that is not how it works.
That's great advice. That's great advice. No, that is. That's great advice. I was sitting there like I forgot that I was hosting for a minute. I was listening to you. So, I mean, you can see now, everybody, why we have Peter on at least once a year, hopefully more. Fun to talk to, very knowledgeable about the business, and you know what we found out today? You're a good off-season dynasty drafter.
It's like calling me off the cold off the bench, right? You know,
good. You're Vinny. What was the microwave's name? Vinny Johnson. What was his name?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's an offense.
Yeah, you heat up quick. Yep. All right, everybody. We'll be back next week with another Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast and a whole lot more. If you have any questions about anything Peter said or our draft in the beginning, just leave them in the comments. We answer every comment. No person left behind. This is also available if you're watching the video on the RotoWire podcast feed. You could subscribe to that, RotoWire Fantasy Football. And if you want to get behind RotoWire's paywall for free, we talked about all this great content, you can right now for 2 days. Just go to RotoWire.com/pod, P-O-D, RotoWire.com/pod. Put in your email and we give you a free look. There's nothing to cancel. If you don't like the site for some crazy reason, there's nothing else you need to do. But if you love it, you could subscribe in earnest. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week. Goodbye. Noise, noise,